This week on RSBNB Update, Till Death Do Us Part, a reflection on the Halloween event, the RuneScape 3 mobile beta, some final thoughts on RuneFest, including the mining and smithing beta, and one more thing. This is RSBNB Update, episode 693, recorded Friday, October 12th, 2018. And one more thing. Hello, everybody. I am back. This is RSBNB Update once again. Back from across the pond, as you guys say over there.
I'm still here.
Yeah, you're still there. You're still there. You know, Tanis wanted to be here. Unfortunately, with my arrival time back, and yesterday was a complete and utter blur of feeling like it's the wrong time of day. But so that's why Tanis is not here. I didn't schedule the show until it was too late for him to set that up. But we'll be back next week. But of course, in case you guys are wondering, Sirion, that's Sirion that you heard. And if you're watching video, he's just sitting there waving. And this is very interesting for us because, you know, last time we did this show, we were actually just sitting a bit to the right of where you are right now.
Mm-hmm.
We could have done a video show that day, but we didn't because we just didn't have the editing ability and whatnot. And
I mean, I would show it on a webcam, but like that, it's a mess.
Yeah,
So like you just have to believe me.
Yeah. But RuneFest is done, and you know,
how's the rune flu coming along?
I'm not actually sick. I think I was sick largely due to jet lag.
Hmm. I had a bit of a cold the last few days while on my work trip as well. So that was
that's not fun.
Not an ideal combination.
It's not fun. You know, but if anybody does have questions about my trip in general, please do ask. It was largely spent in London, a city that I will full right admit is bigger than I would very much prefer. But I mean, I guess you guys who live there, you just go where you need to go and keep to the areas you need to keep, right? So
pretty much.
You don't try and go gallivanting off to 15 different tube stops and whatnot. And
the London commuter experience is very different from the London tourist experience. Yeah. And usually there's some friction between the two.
Mm-hmm. See, the thing is, I was there with my family as well after I left you, and I had a different experience in the first 3 or 4 days being out in the suburbs than they did being in the core. So they had issues. I did not, and I think that those two different experiences, because you're kind of out on the periphery, would you say, right?
Yeah, so London has like, so it's really funny. London, we sort of measure things, like everything in public transport zones. So like, I mean, London has like, the zone system has become really complex and convoluted, but like in the baseline, there's 6 transport zones. And like, everything outside zone 6 is considered not London, and I live in zone 5, so like that's pretty far out there.
Yeah, almost on the edge. Mm-hmm. Almost on the edge. But you know, we're not here to talk about London transport maps, even though you know,
I love maps.
Yeah, they are. They're good. And I feel like after being there for a week, you could tell me to get to a certain point, and I could do it. So I guess that's good. Right?
You found out like the quality Bex design back was the original design of the tube
yep.
map. Yeah, good.
Yes, it was good. Anyway,
fun fact: the London tube map was the first one that was schematic like that.
Oh.
It was an example to the tube maps across the world.
Good. But anyways, people probably want to hear about RS, right?
Nah.
And you know, this here is just an extension of our little visit together, right? I mean, we could just sit here for hours, yes?
Probably, yeah.
But that's probably not a good idea. So this week's update is Till Death Do Us Part, the Halloween update.
We could sit here till death do us part.
We could, but doesn't the term till death do us part imply that a marriage is involved?
Yeah, we almost had one at RuneFest.
Who?
Shira and Derp.
Oh yeah, that's right. Two clan questers. Oh yeah, yoy, okie dokie. So, as you can tell, lots of things when you put people together come up. But Till Death Do Us Part, the little Halloween update taking place by Death's Place, Strainer Village, and whatnot. Basically, the idea behind this is that Moya has been caught, and over the course of the month, we're attempting to free her from the grasp of some unknown force. I don't think we know who's the culprit here, do we?
I think the tainted chart that's involved mentioned a certain individual called Xotac.
Yep, that's what everyone was thinking going into this. So, and you know, it's unfortunate that they mention Xotac with this, but we're not necessarily heading this way with the lore, as we talked about. Next up is Elder Gods and Dragonkin. Which, I mean, is okay, but when we just had the pirate quest in this, it's kind of a shame. But I don't know. I think that's neither here nor there for this update, right?
No, and I think this was probably decided before that the results of that survey came in.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So basically, you have five pillars that you can stabilize for crafting, rune crafting, slayer, smithing, and Invention XP, I want to say?
It's actually a bunch more skills they change randomly.
Oh, they do. Okay. All right, fair enough.
Full list is in this week's Bite.
Yes, which you recorded for us, which I am so grateful for that you guys managed to keep the shack held down while I was off, as you said, having tea with the Queen of England, which, you know, could have very well have been true. But in any case... these pillars, that they have various layers of energy to them, and you need to stabilize them. And how long would you say this takes? Probably about what, 5 minutes, give or take.
If you put the if you put the tainted shards on double speed charging, this you can basically be done in like 5 to 10 minutes. Yeah.
Yeah, and that's what I've been doing.
If not, it takes about twice as long.
Okay. All right. And that's not too bad, right?
No, that's all right. I felt it was longer the first time, but that was because I had my shard set to double XP and I was running around for the multipliers a lot.
Yeah, all right, fair enough. And, you know, I think everybody knew that this was going to be out with the tainted shard because they've been kind of just teasing that around, right? And do you think we can effectively call this World Event 4?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, it's a bit smaller than, say, Tuska. Tuska went on a lot longer, of course. And, you know, where do you put the line? We had these events in, like, Port Swim and Falador where we, like, every day you did, like, your 100 charges in like one of the two skills. There was like the chest with the sword, and there was something in Port Swim as well. I forgot exactly what it was. In a way, that was also a community event because I think you needed a certain amount of community contribution to unlock that and the rewards.
Yeah,
it is more akin to those. Like, so I think World Event, you know, this is maybe a bit more lore involved, but I think it goes a bit far to call it a world event.
Yeah, and I would agree with that, because otherwise we would have seen that in the branding, right? So
I think so.
Yeah. There's also a little portal that can appear, and you can use that. You can stabilize that with souls, and you know, you can get Slayer XP from that. So that's interesting. Everyone loves a bit of free Slayer XP, I think.
I definitely do, on my way to 120.
Oh my gosh. That's not something I want to think about. But that actually brings up ideas of other things that we can think about. But we'll talk about that later. Just a bit of warning for everyone. this episode of RSBNB Update is either going to be... is it going to be a big counseling session for the both of us? Or you guys are going to be coming at me with the pitchforks next week, and potentially Sirion more so. You'll be coming at him with the pitchforks, dude.
Hey. I won't be here next week.
Well, they'll still find you and bring those pitchforks towards your direction. But in any case, after you stabilize all these shards here, you enter the main rift, and when you're in there, you basically destabilize some of the black crystal hands. And for anyone who's done Elite Dungeon 1, this will look very familiar, because it's the same things that happened with Siriu. And, you know, at the end of the day, I think when it comes down to it, this is all linking in towards Zautak, and we're definitely going to be seeing more of that with the Ambassador in Elite Dungeon 3 when that comes out in January 2019. Listen to last week's RuneFest recap episode 692, where we go over exactly all those lore talks and whatnot. And, you know, we're not going to go over all the lore and all the reveals again, because I think we did that adequately last weekend after RuneFest, right?
Yeah, well, we were pretty tired and determined to go to bed really early. Mm-hmm. We recorded the show for you.
Mm-hmm. That's right. But this thing kind of works like the Premier Club Vault. You have 60 seconds to break a number of urns in there. I got a portable herb burner. Do we know what that does?
It was a thing that was released at one of the Halloween events like a while ago.
Okay, so this is basically a way of getting past Halloween events.
Yeah.
Halloween event rewards. What was the little ring thing that you got?
Yeah, so... Hashu stabilized the portal multiple times. Like, on the events interface, you'll see a little bar that progresses. There's, like, four sort of checkpoints, and you'll get, like, a little reward box. And in that reward box, there's several rewards. I got things like a protein pack. I got did I mention it? Yeah, the portable bank. And I got a ring, and the ring allows me to turn in an urn, if that's my thing. So I can sit around being an urn. It's a bit silly. And on top of that, you have the community rewards as well. So as the community stabilizes, like, certain unlocks are unlocked. So that's four rings, one for each of the Horsemen of the Apocalypse that you can turn into. And then there is three overrides for weapons from the three Horsemen of the Apocalypse that are not death. So that will be Pestilence, War, and Famine.
That's nice. I like that theme for it. And, you know, it's not jack-o'-lanterns and Halloween, but I think it fits the bill, right? So
yeah, it's definitely something new, and I'm not complaining. Yeah. The art they showed for the upcoming Horsemen looks really cool.
Yeah. And, you know, two other things with this. You can also get clue scrolls from the urns.
Yeah, I got two elites so far.
Yep, same. And I don't know if you noticed this, but the login music for this and the music they used for the introduction is a revamped version of Temple Desecrated with a slight remix.
Never complain about that.
Yeah. One question I have before we wrap this up here. What exactly does it mean, destabilization in, for example, 1 hour, 38 minutes? I wasn't playing at the exact time that happens. What does it mean when the rift gets destabilized?
So you get to stabilize the rift once every 4 hours. The 4 hours are actually synced with game time. So that's the countdown to when the clock resets.
All right. Oh, so it's just basically you can do this again in 1 hour, 38 minutes if it says that. Mm-hmm. All right, fair enough.
And one of the mechanics that there is as well is that when you're siphoning, like when you're destabilizing one of the pillars, the others will slowly build up a multiplier and you get more XP for a while if you use that. So like if you have like two skills you want to train, it's better to sort of switch back and
to
forth.
To jump back and forth, whichever ones are glowing the biggest.
Yeah.
Okay.
The portal with the zombies, that's Death's mechanic, and that's so every week coming forward, every Monday, a new Horseman of the Apocalypse will show up and will introduce new mechanics to the event. So we'll see all the sort of distractions during the event you can interact with. So hopefully we'll see some new content over time. I think it's an interesting way of spreading out like sort of this stuff and making it more interesting.
Yeah, definitely. You know, I have always been very much on the traditional side for these events, but I think overall what we got here turned out pretty well, right?
Yeah, I mean, I'm pretty happy with it. I mean, I'm never a big fan of these things you have to sort of do every day, yep. Like the whole data escape stuff. But
we have our next segment touches on that.
Yeah. But like, yeah, I was on a trip like the last 3 days, and you know, on a bus ride or something like that, I'll just whip out my phone. I'm like, just quickly doing it 10 minutes, and that's it. Worked pretty well. So yeah, you know, I don't have a big problem with it. It's a bit monotone. Like you just, I like after the first day, I stopped bothering with the multipliers. So I hit the adventure. If it isn't, I'll just do it. Go in, crack some urn. I don't really care about the urns either. I mean, I sort of swore off like Treasure Hunter. I don't do the premium vault anymore because it's the same.
Yeah, I logged in. I logged in at his place to test or to do my farm and whatnot, and he was going to slap me if I use my daily Treasure Hunter keys.
No. You can use them, but like you tried my account to play mobile on
at RuneFest, yeah.
And I would have slapped you if you opened the interface and used my key.
Oh, that was it. And that takes us nicely into our next segment. The RuneScape Mobile Members Beta for RS3 has been released on Android, and they're looking at iOS in the new year. Mm-hmm. And, you know, people who got to go to RuneFest got a guaranteed in. They filled up their 25,000 slots for this very, very quickly. So you've been playing this the entire week.
I mean, that's a big way of saying it, right? Well,
but you have been using it a little bit.
Yes. Yes.
And what do you think compared to what we experienced at RuneFest?
I mean, it's not that different, right? I think at RuneFest, like,
it looks a lot smoother on your phone than it did at RuneFest, by the way.
Yeah, I think at RuneFest they must have put it like at pretty high settings. So the first thing I did on my mobile phone is like I dropped the settings to like battery saver, because I know that when I play it, it's gonna be like on my commute or while I'm on the go, and I don't want to burn through my battery doing that.
Yeah.
And so I turned that off. Like, I think my phone can handle the higher resolution just fine, but like I was like, I just want to make sure it doesn't
kill
too much resources. And you know, it runs pretty smoothly. That being said, it does rely on a solid connection. So I was like in a touring bus, like going from one location to another, and like reception would be a bit sketchy. Like, if you're on the move, your reception is going to be a bit sketchy.
Because you have to change cell towers.
You have to say, and like at that point, like the smoothness is just gone. Like it's like for some reason, like even like just like panning the camera, it would just completely freeze. Like you're probably like, if you don't have like the best of internet connections at home, you probably are aware of it, like the phenomenon where like all your XP drops sort of come in like one go, like nothing happens, and then like when the connection is back, it's like bloop, you get like a dozen XP drops,
yeah,
like at one go, like that, it's that effect. But like you have trouble sort of scrolling back and forth and like doing anything at that time. I'm not entirely sure. It seems like at that point, my guess is that because it needs to catch up the simulation, it just freezes like the entire simulation on the phone site. So I think definitely if like, because on a mobile phone, it's so likely you're going to be on the move when you play it. I definitely think they need to work about that, a bit more on that. And that's hard, you know, like the entire idea of RuneScape is based at like everything is server simulated, right?
Yeah.
Like there's a reason that puzzle boxes used to be super slow. It's like, you click it, it sends like a request to the server processes it, and then it sends the results back. Like, that's like, we see that in a lot of interfaces in RuneScape. Like, everything is done on the server. So, like when you click something, it's super, super slow sometimes.
It didn't used to be that way back when RS2 came out, but then botting became a problem.
Yeah. So, like, you know, they might need to think about pushing more simulation locally, but that's really hard because you don't like again, like you don't want to make it possible to cheat by allowing the local thing to do stuff and tell what the result is. Yeah. So, you know, there's techniques for this, which is basically both do it both server and client side. But then again, that means you need to duplicate the logic. You need to reconciliate if things are wrong. So,
and I don't think RuneScape would be built like that.
No, it's like it's technically really challenging, and like if you were to build a game from scratch, you would do that. Right? Yeah. If you think about something like Rocket League, which is really sort of latency intensive,
yeah.
Like if you lose a connection, every player will locally be simulated, like based on some algorithm, and then like when the connection comes back, you just hope that it sort of matches up, and sometimes it does, sometimes it doesn't at all. But like you sort of try to. Like fill the gaps when the connection, like when you have like packet drops, so they need to work on that a bit better to handle that, I think. And otherwise, I mean, the UI is just, you know, it's fine for like basic stuff, like you can click stuff in the game world, but you know, it's just so obvious that this game was not made for mobile, They might have tried their best to.
And I can attest to that as well. You know, trying it at RuneFest, I forgot what kind of interface I was trying to close, but it just took too many tries to click that tiny button in the top right.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I've had the same problem on my mobile phone. Like,
and I mean, you don't have big fingers, do you?
Nope. Not at all. I mean, it's like, yeah, and that's sort of the thing, right? Like they tried their best with like the interface. Even if you do the interface, right? They're like relatively like on like your desktop, they're relatively like big square buttons. And on the phone, like if you were to design a game from scratch, that is smaller than the minimal tappable area you want for an item. And that's like one of the largest items you can click in the game. Like everything is just relatively tiny. And this is on like so I'm playing on a Pixel 2, which is, what is it?
5.5.
Yeah, exactly. So, like, if you're playing this on, like, maybe,
Christ,
like,
that's
an iPhone.
5.2? That's 5.5? That's the same size as the iPhone Plus.
I don't know.
I'm pretty sure.
I don't know what the size is. I think the size on this one is 5.2. Okay. Like, the screen size, and the new one is 5.5.
Okay. Right. For Flash Detect News.
Yeah, so, like, you know, you can't play on bigger screens. And I think the game would run really, really well on, say, like a tablet. And that's maybe what I'm most excited for, right?
Yes, me
start
too.
Start playing this
me
on
too.
My iPad or something.
Yes, yes.
That would work really well, I think. But like on a phone, you know, for like basic tasks, it's fine. But somebody was – it's really funny. Somebody was talking about something technical in a chat and they were wrong. And like when you're me, you have to correct people. But the sort of – you know, switching, like opening like the chat interface, and then clicking like the typing area, and that opens like the keyboard in like landscape mode, and I don't like the keyboard in landscape mode. Like I'm used to like portrait and then like a swipe keyboard. So like the typing is absolutely horrible. So like the sort of the step to socialize with other people is really, really big, right? Like you wouldn't use this to do social stuff.
And for anyone wondering, that's what the number in the top left of the screen means.
Yeah, exactly. That's like a random number. Like you don't know what it means. Like, and I have the window, like I have the chat window open, and like there's like, click it. There's like a small version where you just get like the last four chat messages. And you have to click it again. Then it goes to like a full mode where you can actually interact. And then if you want to cycle back to the small mode, you have to hit that button twice. And like, again, this is like, it feels really slow. It feels like this is all simulated on the server side, which it probably is because it saves your interface settings and such. So, you know, it all feels a bit not responsive enough. And for RuneScape being like an MMO, it's a social game. And the social aspect is hard to interact with because, I mean, we all know typing on a phone is not not ideal, but it's definitely not ideal if you have to click like a small tappable area and type on a keyboard you're not used to. That's like not ideal, and like, you know.
Yeah.
I'd much rather have a version of like have a way of sort of opening the app in like social mode that like just has like the clan chat and such, like in the companion app or something like that.
And I think this touches on where we went at RuneFest with this, and you know, this was for all intents and purposes our first go at RS Mobile because we weren't in any of the betas.
I mean, I was at RuneFest last year as well, so right. That's the first. But, I tried it then. That's the first.
But major UI switch. Changes and whatnot since then.
Yeah.
Like,
What they had last year at RuneFest was basically RuneScape, but ported to mobile.
Right, like, just a technical preview showing, hey, we can do this.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And it's safe to say we were both hoping for a little bit more progress on this from where it's currently at.
They did lots of sort of optimizations, but I feel, you know, I think you need to completely rethink your UI, like for a mobile app. And
as it is right now, you need to have some major changes for it.
And, you know, for all the faults it has, like for what I did with it, like quickly logging in and doing the Halloween event, it works fine. I'm pretty sure that I could log in, do ports, for example, or like cap at the Citadel, or sort of like simple tasks like that I could do. And, you know, I found myself more motivated to actually do it. Like, if I hadn't been able to use mobile to do the Halloween event, I probably wouldn't have done the Halloween event every day. And I would maybe at this point have given up on the rewards and not interacted with it.
Well, there you go. There you go.
So, I mean, it helps for doing these small things. And it means that if I do this, like, if I do, like, ports on my commute home, and I get home, and when I log in, I can start doing like actual other things. So, right. You know, I think as a player, existing player, it might sort of.
It's definitely like a good thing. It's not bad. It's gonna help. It's gonna help in these various cases. Apparently,
but on the other hand, I think my fear that this is not going to like attract massive audiences.
Yeah.
Like on new people playing it, I don't think that's going to happen. I don't think like. All kudos to the mobile team for getting the game running on a mobile phone in a way that's not absolutely terrible, but you just don't get the full game experience if you don't play this on a desktop. And that's like nothing can change that.
And it doesn't feel like a mobile game yet.
No, and you get things like we touched upon this last week when we talked, and I saw an article earlier this week that where they said that old school RuneScape Mobile will not get microtransactions, right? That's like an absolute no. And like, how are you going to monetize a mobile app without microtransactions, right? That's an industry standard. And then the same thing for like RuneScape 3 Mobile. If you compare RuneScape's profit model, it's very different from your average app. So like, your average mobile gamer is not going to interact with it in the ways they would expect, I feel. Like, I think, I'm not sure how much market research they did, but I feel there's some sort of mismatch right now. And we're still a few months off. Like, a lot can change. Like, we don't know what the groundwork is that they've been doing. But still,
they could have
a huge
marketing campaign ready to go, and they could make some flash UI changes, too.
Sure, I mean,
because
maybe,
remember
maybe
this whole thing
are all there, like under the hood.
Yeah,
but
like this is using their new interface system, so everything they're doing is inherently customizable,
mm-hmm.
and that's why they've made changes to like the settings interface and whatnot. So
I mean, the UI on the mobile phone, as far as I'm aware, is not customizable.
No,
and you know,
but
I'm
they can do it
that.
From their end. Yes, I'm happy with that too.
I think they should design the best mobile experience. And now they have the chance, right? Because people on desktop are used to this customizable experience, and you can't really take that away from them. But this is sort of the opportunity to show, like, hey, we're not going to give you any choice. This is how they can show that they know how to design a UI and just force everybody to use it. Everybody can learn it in their way.
That's pretty funny, Sirion.
And I hope they're going to do that. And
see, that's the thing. We hope, right?
Yeah, I would say so. But yeah, we'll see. You know, I'll keep using it. People have like I'm not I don't have any big complaints about battery usage, and this is before they're doing
heavy optimization. That's big, and that's good.
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, like any mobile game is going to suck battery like crazy. Like, that's just truth. But you know, I showed you a screenshot earlier today or yesterday for you, time zones, where I compare like the battery usage of Google Chrome versus RuneScape, and like the battery usage was like practically the same.
Yep.
As long as you have like active time.
Yeah,
and that's pretty good. I mean, this is on battery saving mode, but like it still looks like RS3, and you know. I don't expect like reflections and high definition shadows on a mobile app anyway.
No. You know, I think the only time you'd expect that is if you're using a Razer phone.
Yeah, and again, like that might be interesting, but like you needed a bit bigger screen, and you know, I don't have an Android tablet lying around sadly, but I am quite looking forward to seeing how the experience is on an iPad. So hopefully the iOS version comes out soon.
Can't come soon enough.
I was going to say, like, my bits to see how it works on, like, a Chromebook, but at that point, you could just run the actual game.
Oh, right, because Chromebooks can run Android apps.
Mm-hmm. Chrome OS actually runs Android apps exclusively.
Oh. So they've abandoned that idea of running web apps.
But I think they're working on Android. No, Android native apps have been released on Chrome OS. So, yeah, it's good.
Yeah. So overall, I mean, it's a good experience for what it is. It just needs some UI optimizations. I think that's the biggest thing that we're coming away with here.
Yeah, like things are a bit annoying, and like you know, I think everybody here. You should think about how much you rely on things like hover states in the game. If you think about, like, quests or puzzles. Like, if you think about the Halloween event, right? There's 5 pillars. And there's no way of knowing what skill they are without hovering over them and seeing
the name.
So
how do you do that on mobile?
You long press to get the right-click menu and you read it.
So we're effectively going back to single mouse button mode that they had in the game.
So you know, that's like, and like if you think about like all the quests and all that stuff in the game, like so many things you need that. Like there's like inventory stuff that have like maybe like different names but like the same icon or similar icons and all that stuff.
Galariel's amulet and the gnome amulet.
Yeah, things like that. So imagine all that stuff just not working off the bat. Like, I don't know. For example, I think the inventory should not be grid, but maybe like a list of items at this point. Because, like, you need the names, so...
That works.
You know, they need to completely... And that's like the kind of changes they need to make, but...
And you can tell that, these are PC designers working on this.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And you know, we're not knocking anyone for that. This is just something that is apparent.
I'm not a mobile developer either. I would make mistakes like off the same time.
Yeah, of course.
Probably, if I did this. But you know, hire some professionals.
There's money lying.
Oh, I don't know. I don't know if they have a mobile UX expert because they don't have a desktop UX expert either. So
that's something we should have asked about.
Mm.
Okay. Anything else on mobile? I mean, I think we've covered most of it.
I mean, this is going to be something that's going to be changing over time.
Yeah.
So far, I haven't had troubles with it. The only thing is, they tell you to like play like an hour on Wi-Fi so it can download the cache. It still hasn't downloaded the cache, I think, for me, because it still claims there's like a 0% spinner like on the homepage. So I don't know what's going on, but my data usage has been like in the order of magnitude of MBs, so I think it's probably fine.
Yeah.
To be honest, my data plan, like, if I were to download the entire cache on data, it's like 2 gigabytes. It's fine. It's fine. I mean, you've experienced firsthand how cheap data is to hear.
Right here. Yeah. You guys and your godforsaken cheap data. Okie dokie. Yeah, that was fun. The game currently requires a device with at least 2 gigs of RAM and OpenGL ES3. We still got that elephant in the room.
Yeah, I we'll see what the iOS version does. Good luck porting to Metal.
Basically, what that means is that iOS 12 has deprecated OpenGL, meaning it exists, and will likely be removed in iOS 13.
Hey, good thing my iPhone is old enough to not be updated to iOS 11 even, I think.
Okay. Anything else on mobile? I think this covers it. And as you can tell, I'm a little bit distraught with that OpenGL thing still, potentially, and whatnot.
You have to wait longer for your beta as well. That's not a good sign either.
I was expecting it in November, because that's how quick the old school one came out after. Anyways, we good?
Yeah.
All right. Moving on, then. Next up. Next up, mining and smithing beta at RuneFest. We didn't talk much about what exactly went into this, and I figured we should talk more about this because this is something we spent extensive time on. There was basically a station set up on the main RuneFest floor, and I think there's around maybe 12 computers set up running the beta, special beta worlds and whatnot, and mods Jack, Tube, and others who were working on the project were floating around answering questions and the like. We chatted with lots of other players too who were playing with it. What would you say our general sentiment was from the people we chatted with?
People had very mixed opinions about it. We talked to a hardcore Iron Man, and they were like, "Yeah, I don't like this." Like, Yeah, that was Herbla. He was like, "I don't like this. This is not going to be fun for Iron Man." Another person was like, "I don't think it's very special," or people were like, "Don't care much." That was people's responses were mixed, I think.
And that's slightly concerning when you sink that much development time on the project.
Mm-hmm.
One of my highlights with this is I went to Mod Jack and Mod Tomb, and I made sure I conveyed how thankful we are, and I'm using the "we" as everyone who. We talked about this in the podcast community, that they managed to get the tier 92 power armor through the combat council, and their look on their faces when talking about that, they were relieved too. They were relieved too. They were very pleased that they got that through. So, I think we had a huge victory on that, and everyone who chatted about that and everything we talked about on the podcast in that regard, probably help, because I'm pretty sure both Jack and Tomb did listen to that episode. So, that was good. Now, basically, for those of you guys wondering what they did, is they had a instanced world set up that was focused around the Artisan's Workshop, because that is effectively going to be the new Mining and Smithing Guild. And what you could do there is you could set your levels and whatnot. You could, try the various types of armor, you could try the various types of ore, smithing, smelting and whatnot. And then, of course, the mining guild is right below if you wanted to go try some mining, try some level 80 mining, get some of the good stuff out of there. I believe it was Luminite, or was it Animica or something like that? I don't know.
I don't remember. I think it was the vet stuff that was the highest level that was there. But...
yeah, okay. So basically, you could test the entire experience there with that. I found the smithing UI a little bit confusing still. What did you think of it?
Yeah, I mean, it's because you have to consider, the smithing stuff is a bit more complicated now, right? It's not just, cause you have, the different sort of types of metal, and then within the metals, you have, the different items. And then within the items, you have, in the smithing rework, when you get, an adamant plate body, you can make it into an element plate body plus one, plus two, plus three, plus four, etc. to like plus five. You know, and that was like, there's like, so like, there's like, it's like on the left you have like, there's, so the make X screen right now is like two panes, right? It's like stuff you can build and then like the sort of details. And then there's like a drop down at the top. So that drop down is gone. It's replaced by something on the left that shows you like all the different types of metal and also how much you have in your, because you don't have to carry stuff in your inventory anymore for smithing.
Right. And this is going to free up numerous bank spaces.
Like there's like a mining smithing bank where all your ore and bars are like sort of in like a centralized thing that you can always access at like an anvil or a furnace. So yeah, basically like it shows you how many you have. You choose like your metal, and then like the second pane, the middle pane shows like normal make X stuff. And on the right, you have the details. And then on the top, you have like buttons for like 1 to 5 and like base. So that was a bit confusing. Like I was looking for something, that was a bit confusing. That was the glorious bars, which are used to make the masterwork armor. It's a bit, it was a bit tough to figure out how exactly that works. I do love how much time it costs to make that stuff, though.
Days.
Probably. But, like, it's, we say days, right? But it's constant. Like, you know exactly how much you have to do. Like, everything you do is progress towards that thing. It's not like a drop you'd need where, like, if you're lucky, it's like a minute, and if you're unlucky, it's like a week. No, it's like it's always the same time. You take a bar, and it's a bit like disassembling, right? It's about the speed of disassembling, I would say. And you need to do, you need to fold a bar, and like the speed at which you do that is about disassembling. You can do it like 60 times in like one interaction. And you need to do that 1,001 times. That gives you one bar, and I think you need like 10 bars or so to make the entire armor. So it's like, it's a really long process, but you know, if you have the resources and you have the time, you're gonna get it. You just need to sink in the time, and every stage is tradable, so you know, at least
that's,
you can,
that's the money making method.
That's the money making. Like, yeah, if you consider, like, I mean, look at it this way, right? You can make, in the time to make master armor, how much money can you make at Talos? Something like that. The price of masterwork armor is probably going to be on par with that, because it needs to be competitive with other money-making methods.
Yeah.
And you don't need to learn Talos for that. You just need to have patience and do this.
Yeah. And here's, and of course, that's what people were concerned about with that. And, you know, when it comes down to it, at the end of the day, you still need to put some PVM drop components into the tier 92 power
armor.
Yeah,
so this, like this long process gives you tier 90 armor.
Yeah.
And then
tier 90 power
armor.
You can
bump it up to 92 if you have the PVM drop.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, that's good. I mean, who uses tier 90 power armor today unless they're going for, you know, absolute DPS somewhere? I've just been told it's far too expensive. So, and you know, one thing we didn't get to do is we didn't get to go to all the different mining sites because all the lodestones were locked.
Yeah. I mean, these were like fresh accounts apart from like all the smithing and stuff levels. So, you know, it was a bit hard to get around. I went to some locations. You can, for example, you can get like, you could get like all the boosting items. So you get like a ring of wealth and a ring of,
necklace or whatever it is,
something like that.
Lets you teleport to the champion's guild.
You had a few teleports, so you could get around. Somebody actually went to Pivdenis to check the XP rates on 7 stones. They're actually,
boy, that guy was there for a long time.
Yeah. They're actually faster now to be on in line with the other XP rates because you know, the XP rates are actually much higher. You know, people are gonna complain about that, I'm pretty sure. You know, I'm looking at it and I think it's fine. Some people think it's too AFKable, and I can see why they say that. That's definitely
AFK smithing.
Smithing is, like, especially with the outer heater, it's relatively AFKable. It's just not going to be, like, the best process. Mining is also kind of AFK. It's also AFKable. And again, both activities you can sort of keep doing, like, at, like, you could get better rewards by being more active at it. But I think it's still something you can do while watching Netflix. So you can do, like, it's, these skills are, like, perfect Netflix and skilling.
Netflix and skill?
Skills. Yeah, Netflix and skill.
Yeah. And, you know, one other neat thing about this is that, you know, we've seen all these interfaces before in live stream and whatnot. We've seen them. We've seen them evolve over time, and this was our first chance at actually getting our hands on them and seeing how they are. And based on how they were described on live stream and how they were demoed, I don't think much was lost in the live stream, and I think it felt as it was expecting to feel. Yes,
I mean, I haven't been watching the live streams. I don't watch live streams because TLDW. But you know, it felt. You know, the make interface, you know, not ideal, and you have to also sort of consider that all of us who have, like, high skilling levels, we're gonna come into smithing with all the mechanics unlocked. But, like, a new player would see these mechanics being unlocked over time, and, like, all these items sort of unlocked over time. It's the same as with invention. If I threw you into invention at, like, 99 invention, you would have no idea what it is about.
True.
Right?
True.
So many devices and stuff. But because you sort of unlock them over time, like, you started with, like, the basic thing of, like, augmenting and, like, siphoning and all that stuff. And, like, as you sort of go further and further, I'm pretty sure, like, smithing will be the same thing. And as we sort of learn, like, about all the boosts, I'm pretty sure that, like, the knowledge will sort of sink in over time. And it's a super disruptive update. And, like, people are going to have a level of change aversion. But, you know, looking at it, I think fundamentally it's a positive change. It feels right, and that is good. Like, they've worked on this for, like, 2 years, and, you know, it's coming together.
Yeah, and, you know, I actually encouraged you to go back and give it a try, because I initially was the only one who gave it a try. We went to go do something else, and you had this question that you couldn't remember what it was. And I said, okay, you sit down here, you play this until your question comes back. And it did come back to you. And what was the question?
The question, so, fun fact in RuneScape history, smithing used to be the most profitable thing that existed in RuneScape. Like, smithing rune armor was, like, that was the way you made money. So they wanted to make sure it wasn't too easy to do that. And this is why all the anvils and furnaces are really far from banks. Like, especially, like, the old ones. Like, they added, like, it's now different. But, like, if you look at, like, the traditional locations of anvils and furnaces, they're pretty far away from the bank and really far away from each other. So, like, there's no sort of way you can,
like, the earliest
this.
Starting out one is you have a furnace in Lumbridge. And you have the anvils in Varrock.
Mm-hmm.
And then in between there, you have the copper and tin mines, and that's how you make your bronze when you start out.
Yeah, so, like, it was all, like, really sort of spread out, and that's sort of the reason. So my question was, because, like, in the new Artisan's Workshop, they completely redesigned and looks absolutely gorgeous, by the way. Like, I need to say this. Like, Artisan's Workshop, after the rework, like, beautiful. Like, you've seen it. Like, it's... It feels dwarven. It feels like it fits in the city.
It's what the Artisan's Workshop was meant to be.
Exactly. But yeah, like, Artisan's Workshop will have the anvils. It has the furnaces. Like, it has everything you need for smithing. So, you know, I was asking, like, is this how it's going to be? Are we always going to combine, like, furnaces and anvils? And they answered that, like, most places they will just keep as they are. Mostly because they want to keep people...
In the Artisan's Workshop.
They want to make it into a hub. And they want people to, like, to log in after this mining and smithing rework and, like, don't understand anything. They want to be able to, like, go to a place and ask people. And they definitely see, like, an Artisan Workshop world existing in, like, the near future. and this is great, right? This is awesome. Like, they removed the competitiveness from mining. They moved, like, to a hub. This is what a social game should think about in every single update. How do we get people to play together? And I think that works great.
And another thing...
That was my question. And,
go ahead.
You know, the answer they gave made me confident that they thought about this stuff. And that's always such... That's something you get at RuneFest, right? Like, I don't think you get this online or on live streams. Like, if you talk to them in person, they show how passionate they are and that they really want these things to succeed. So.
And, you know, another thing with this is that in terms of this question, we asked also, are there going to be the hoppers and whatnot at every furnace or every anvil? And the answer is yes. So you go to a furnace, you'll still have the hopper to access all your ore. Then you go to a different anvil, you'll still have that hopper to access all those bars.
Interesting remark on that. The hopper and the anvil might be like 3 steps instead of 2 steps away from each other to make sure that like the artisan's workshop is always like the best place
to go.
That's
smart.
It is really smart. It's like, I mean, that's what you get, I guess, when you work on an update for 2 years. But
hey.
And yeah, the last comment was like, so what after this, right? And they were like, you know, if you were to do this again, we're not going to see a fletching rework. That's what they said. We're not going to see a crafting rework. Like,
no.
They talked about this with Mod Osborne, and they were like, if we were to like do like fletching next, we would just kit out like the top few tiers with like new content. Like,
yeah,
they've worked on this for
2 years,
and like it's good, but it's like it's not worth it in the end. Like, people complain about the lack of updates over the last few months, and that's just because there's one team is working on this update like continuously.
Yep.
So, you know, I don't think we're going to see new skill reworks in the future. And, you know, I'm a bit sad about that, but I completely understand the reasoning behind it. And it's good that they are self-aware that this is a thing and that they make this priority and make this decision.
Yeah, I agree. Anything else on the mining and smithing rework?
No, I think that's about it.
Yeah,
I mean, when it comes out, we can jump in with our own characters and, you know, explore even more.
Yeah, we actually have an idea
that
we want to do. What was it that we wanted to do with the update, folks?
We will just all come on stream together, and all again at the same time, and just all give it a try live for all of you as well, I think. That's
basically some cooperative bug testing, so to speak.
Yeah, and just getting a good feel for it.
Yeah, so you can look forward to that. Okay, so you know we're going to talk about what else happened at RuneFest, and I'm going to share some photos here of this that we took of Clan Quest, or I'm not going to share the Clan Quest photos. That'll be for you guys to do that. But I'm going to share some of the photos I took at the event. Now, there's one more thing with this RuneFest stuff that we want to talk about, isn't there, Sirion?
I will remain silent for a moment.
Yeah. So let me just frame this by telling a story. You ready for this?
Story time with Shane.
And you.
Okay.
So we were at the RS3 reveal stock. And that was, I believe, at 5 p.m.?
Yep.
5 p.m. And it was preempted by, what was it? The old school bug busting, right?
Mm-hmm,
so we were waiting to get in for that. So we went to the RS3 reveals talk, and you know, as you know, we had the RS3 reveals, and we've already chatted about those. You know, Till Death Do Us Part, The Needle Skips, pretty much everything that's coming in the next few months, give or take. And you know, that was a good talk, wasn't it? The RuneScape Winter reveals, like The Needle Skips. That's got to be the biggest quest in a long time that we're all looking forward to, right?
Mm-hmm.
So There's also Elite Dungeon 3, the Ambassador and whatnot. That's good, right? The Mining and Smithing beta, right? Which we just talked about. We absolutely love it. Christmas Quest, Violet is Blue, 10 years since the Whitelands. Alchemical Onyx Jewelry. Mod Timbo knows exactly what he's doing with this. And it's going to take Fortunate Components directly out of game with that. Which is good, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, after this, we went off to get a drink or something, and not an alcoholic drink, of course. We didn't do that, so just...
could have used one at that point. I'm now sad we didn't get that alcoholic drink.
Little did
I would
we...
have downed it, probably.
What?
I would have downed it.
Little did we know what was coming at that time. So, there was also this thing set up upstairs, where you could, what they called, be a QA tester for 15 minutes. Unfortunately, that had closed by the time the RS3 reveals had finished. And, you know, we went upstairs for that. We saw the people playing RuneScape and whatnot. So that was good. That was fine and dandy. Now, one thing I want to say about this is, after this, we came back downstairs, and we were just walking through the hall, and with that, you know, at the time, there was also still a talk going on in the main hall, and you know we're getting there, and the talk going on at the time was the old school content reveals, and we had a full intention of just moving straight through the hall, right, onto somewhere else that we were going.
Yeah,
but we heard this thing: old school's first new skill, warding. So we sat there staring at the screen for a couple minutes. And, you know, that was fine. And then we thought, oh, okay. So for those of you guys interested in what this might be, warding is effectively a way to create magic-based armor using the runecrafting skill and farming skill together, basically drawing runes on the ground and then ultimately creating this armor from that. That's just a very high level.
Like, warding is to magic what crafting is to ranged and what smithing is to melee.
Yeah. Okay. So that's basically how that works. You combine those skills together and you get magic armor at the end, and it's also going to...
It's things like split bark armor, lunar armor, yeah. Like blue mage armor, like blue mage robes, which can't be crafted up to now. Like, that's the kind of stuff you're going to make with that, and like introducing like new tiers and rebalancing a bunch of stuff with it. But yeah, that's the kind of stuff you make with that skill.
And it's going to pull other materials out of the economy and whatnot as well. Items from drops. It's going to be simple.
Yeah, it is very, very simple compared to some of the skills compared to
something called invention.
Yeah,
you'll also be able to get it from Hunter as well.
Yeah.
And as you can tell here, at this point, we were ready to mosey on and go on to something else, right?
Well, yeah, I was a bit flabbergasted. It's really strange to see a skill described for that game where you're like, you know, that is exactly what that game needs. That's exactly what's missing. That's exactly what fills, like, sort of the hole in that particular game. And I was just sitting there sort of being impressed by how we got alchemical onyx jewelry, and Old School got a new skill, basically. That was sort of what I was wondering about.
And
but it got worse.
It got worse. And here's why it got worse. Next up, Song of the Elves, completing the Plague City quest line. And
you called it. What
did I call?
Like, they were talking about, like, they're going to finish a storyline, and you were like, it has to be the elves.
Yeah. They're opening Prif in Old School. Now, this isn't going to be the RuneScape 3 Prif. It's not going to be a city up in the sky from this. You can have a look at the world map on this, and, you know, it's a city on the ground. That's one thing. Now, it's not going to be a place for obscene XP raids as well. There's also something called the Gauntlet, and I want everybody to remember, just have in your mind what RS3 update this was supposed to sound like. A brand new challenge requiring players to start from scratch with no weapons or armor. Face off against crystalline versions of monsters. Collect resources, weapons, and armor as you go. The pressure will be on you as you find your time to gather equipment is rather limited before you engage in combat. And there's an all-new boss monster to face, expected to be one of the toughest Old School has ever seen. That's number one. It goes one step further. And this is the point where you and I were, what, flabbergasted, dumbfounded? A skilling boss,
yeah,
which will also be found in the city. Too powerful for normal weapons. Use multiple skills with a focus on the mining skill to create explosives to damage the boss. Unlike the Winter Tot, expect this boss to deal damage directly to you rather than just through the environment. And for successfully defeating the boss, expect to be rewarded with mining resources and a shot at brand new uniques. A focus on item rewards rather than experience. And we just sat there. For how long? It had to have been at least 15 minutes.
Yeah, we sat there for a while.
We didn't tell anyone about this. Because we went with a group. A big group. We didn't tell anyone. We didn't. This is the first time we're speaking about this to anyone.
Mm-hmm.
We talked a bit about it in the car on the way home after we dropped everyone off.
Mm-hmm.
But
we talked about it in pre-show.
I thought about it a bit on the way home. But
I mean, you had like a 10-hour flight to think about it, so
that was harder. That was hard to think about anything on that flight, to be honest. But you know, as you can tell here, we're still a little bit speechless about this.
See, let me talk about this for a bit.
Okay.
You know, see, the reason why this is, I mean, in a way, why is this a big deal, right? Old School, it's a different game. They get their own stuff. It's like, these are updates that, for my limited knowledge of Old School RS, are like pretty much exactly what the game needs. They need like some good story content. I mean, skip is going to be a bit part of it, maybe. But, you know, the gauntlet is something that...
It's what Shattered Worlds should have been.
I mean, I think I have described this concept on the show before. Well, I'm pretty sure I've came up with this idea like on multiple occasions because I keep forgetting. I mean, skilling boss, I don't really care about, but like, think like warding, like it fills all the gaps in the game. Like things like split bark armor, lunar armor. Like if you think about it, like even in RS3. Runecrafting has sort of picked up the role for magic armor, but
not
most
really.
Armor is dropped these ways.
Yeah.
Like, Sea Sinker you make with runecrafting, and, like, you use crafting for things like Ganodermic
yep.
armor. So like it's a bit like it's like doesn't have its own skill, you know, and so it fills that gap. They like had some other items. It's gonna have some form of disassembly built in, you know. It's like it looks interesting. It sounds
interesting.
It's kind
of like Invention, but simpler.
Yeah, and like fit, like in a different niche, you know. And I think it sounds fantastic. Like it's great, and you know. All these updates, you know, I was listening to them. I was like, you know, this sounds not only great, all of this sounds, you know, it was already pretty concrete, I have to say. Like, that already had sort of the basic design fleshed out and all that stuff.
And to be fair, Warding will be pulled. Song of the Elves is happening.
So, like, they really, like, put a lot of thought into this. Like this already feels really concrete, but at the same time super ambitious. Like these are big game changing things, like both of them. And you know, like I said, like why is this a big deal? Like it's their own game, like good for them, but I think we need to compare this, like we need to see the context in which this is in, because the talk we had just left like half an hour before that was the RuneScape Fever Feels. And you know, I heard a lot of people say they were disappointed with RS3 Feels. Like, I'm super excited about some of the stuff. But, you know, I have to admit, like, I'm pretty lucky on the RS3 Feels. Like, it was relatively heavy on, like, mechanics and lore content and all that stuff. So, you know, I think I'm pretty lucky. But, you know, if you're someone that's in, like, combat or Slayer or, like, all that stuff, there's nothing really for you in the next few months, because like no new bosses, no Slayer stuff, no new items, like nothing. So, you know, people were just disappointed. And oh yeah, I mean Shadow Reef, Elite Dungeon 3, of course, in like January is supposed to come out.
And that's
a
huge lore update too, when you think about it.
I mean that's like sort of the big upcoming update. And they did tease that they started working on something really big. They were just not gonna tell us about it. And this sort of stems from the fact that the RS3 community, like, if you give them nothing, they're going to complain. If you give them a lot, they're going to complain that you don't deliver on everything. Like, remember, like, the Church of You skilling off hands. You know, if you look at the streams, RuneFest, like, 3 years ago, they made big promises. They were like, it wasn't really a promise of this is what we're going to deliver. It was like, this is where we want the game to go. This is our vision for like what we want to do on a large scale. And, you know, it was never set with the expectation that all of this is going to happen. And, you know, they got sort of told off for that. And that's what the unfinished business is now for. And that's why we are now at the point where apparently we the community, have scared the JMods into thinking that they can only talk about things that they're really going to do. We don't get any sort of visions anymore, which makes the talks a bit boring, because like it's just an extended month ahead, really. And you know, we were anticipating like, oh, they pushed back the month ahead because they have something big to announce. No, the reason they pushed the month ahead back is because if they had revealed that before RuneFest, half of the talk would have been gone. And, like, this is so sad.
Oh, crap. But we missed the Farming Guild before we got in there. That was also in the OSRS talk.
Oh, okay. Well, good for you. We missed that completely. We came in after that. But, yeah, you know, like, all this, like, it's that context. And I'm like, what is it that old school can do this and RS3 cannot? What makes a difference? And, you know, part of it is going to be production quality. Like, old school looks like Squares. Like, it just doesn't look as good as RS3. Like, making a model for old school is something I could do in Blender, probably. Mm-hmm. While something, like, we have seen the art team at RuneFest.
Oh,
like, they did really awesome stuff. But that takes a lot more time to like sculpt that, animate that, sculpt it, then triangulate, spline, animate, tween, like all this stuff is like, it's a massive process. Like they can't just keep sending out like updates with big sort of art budgets. So I think that's holding back the game. I think the complexity of the updates is part of why the updates are being held back. I think a lot of the content we've seen in the last few, like Playhill and Farm, for example, I think it's overcomplicated, to be honest. Like, if you think about it, it could have been simple, like made much more simple. If that takes half the development time, like, I don't think it impacts the enjoyment of the update that much. So yeah, it's a combination of community, it's a combination of like the framework of the game, I guess. But you know, we tried putting into words what we feel, and you know, I think I feel a form of jealousy, like that game can be visionary and big and have large sweeping changes, and you know, coming out of like 4 months that are pretty dry with updates to a reveals talk that, you know, doesn't even have many big surprises. Like, we knew that the Alchemical Onyx items were being worked on. We knew that Elite Dungeons 3 were coming. We have seen needle skips before for the game jam. Like, holiday events, we knew something was going to happen. Yeah. And that's pretty much all the updates they touched upon. Like, there was nothing big, nothing new, nothing mind sweeping.
Yeah, and I mean, we can't get there is no question that people want that, but at the same time, they freak out if it doesn't happen. You know, apparently, if you looked at the Reddit the day after this announcement,
people were
upset. But yeah, they're also upset when things don't come out. So which is it?
You know, like, and
when is it on this podcast that we have criticized the RS3 community, but is praising what Old School is doing? When has that happened?
Yeah, I don't know.
And that's why we didn't tell anyone about this, because we didn't have the ability to put it into those words. And this is something that hasn't happened before for either of us.
You know, if Old School didn't look like poop, I would switch to playing that. I'm going to say that right now. You know, you laugh, but...
Oh, I'm laughing because...
I think EOC, like... Execution was maybe not great, but we talked about this at length, but like, the idea of it was good, right? I think it made the game better. I think the graphics, undeniably, the graphics of RS3 are better, and these are better things. But I think, based on this snapshot, I will completely admit, right, I'm not up to date on Old School at all. Like, we didn't even know about the Farming Guild. Come on. Like, don't trust us on Old School. But based on this snapshot, Old School is getting the better updates. Like, Old School has the better community. Like, they also have the community that might make, like, that might be a bit more, like...
edgy.
A bit less accepting of the other people. Which, I mean, that in itself is problematic, but, like, at least they have a community. Like, they have a coherent community. They have something, like, you know, it's, like, based on that, like, they seem to be doing better. And, you know, it was, jealousy.
It was surreal.
And, you know... it was a bit depressing to see it that way, like to see Old School thriving in an environment where RS3 is sort of struggling to get to hold people interested. And like, I'm the last to say that, oh my gosh, RS3 is dying. But you know, I think, I can't give a solution for this. I think they need to go back to big announcements and like take the shit that comes with it. But you know, who am I to come up with
is an answer to switch to the Old School development style where everything is pulled?
Well, we've seen how that worked out. We love the aquarium, for example. It's a great piece of content.
But remember, that was an idea that was suggested by a player. I'm talking Jagex puts the ideas out, people vote on them.
You know, no. I mean, it seems to work for old school, and like,
yeah, that's weird.
In all honesty, I'm surprised by it because players generally don't know what they want.
Yeah.
But, yeah. On the other hand, at this point, I don't know anymore. Like, you know, I want a big next skill to.
Is this an
to,
existential crisis for the game of RS3?
I think they are in one. I think they're trying to figure something out. But like, I think the biggest thing, right, is if I were now an old school player, I would have big things to look forward to. What are you looking forward to in RS3? The mining and smithing rework? I mean, I think it's fantastic, and I'm gonna try it out when it comes out. But I am 99 smithing. I'm 99 mining. I, truth be told, I'm not going to engage with it that much.
I might make right. some armor and weapons with it, but beyond that...
Exactly. So, you know, there's nothing to look forward to. If they had announced warding for RS3, I would now be hyping about warding coming out in RS3. If they were talking about Pithiness coming out in RS3, I would now be hyping about all of it, like everything inside it.
And this is only a small portion of what was announced for Priv Old School.
You know... I don't care about Elite Dungeons that much. I don't... The quests, I mean, I'm looking forward to them. But to be honest, like, they're not mind-sweeping and revolutionary. So, what's left? You know? And this makes me think, what do the JMods have in store of us? Where do they see the game going in the future? Like, I didn't really get an idea of that, and... You know, I think they lost out of a big opportunity, and this is a trend we have seen going for like a few years now. And I'm worried about it. I'm sad about it, but, you know, the old school stuff was sort of, it was driving it home. I think I would have felt the same after the RS3 reveal talks. I was trying to remain optimistic. I think it's a job on the show to remain optimistic, and I'm moderately optimistic. I mean,
oh, yeah,
they're working on
something
big. They just don't want to tell us. And, you know, that's fine. It's just the stark contrast with old school that just seems to be going so well. It makes me sad. Like, why can they work and not us? And I don't want to talk in them and us, like, per se. I don't want to make that split. But, you know, there are two separate games. And why the lessons from old school not applying to RS3?
That's a good question. Actually, that's
so,
a
you know, I think this opened up a lot more questions than an answer.
And we don't have the answers right now for you guys.
I think I've been rambling a bit about this, but, you know, I think it's worth talking about. And I think the reason we want to include this in the show is because we think it's important to, you know, address this and talk about why we feel this way. Yeah. And also that, you know, this is on the table. This is sort of like old school is like sort of our brother, sister, like sibling in like games. Like the community is like sort of a sibling community. And yeah, I don't know. I'm out of words.
Yeah, I you had far more words than I did on this, and you've encapsulated how I feel as well on this. So,
I think maybe we should get back to this like in like half a year. Maybe things are completely different, but you know, I think it's good to. Like, RuneFest is a barometer of, like, how the community is going. And, you know, I tried looking at the size of the audience for, like, the RS3 Reveals talk and the old school talks, and they were, like, pretty similar, I'd say. Like,
yeah.
It's hard to sort of get an idea. Yeah. Because, but, like, they were pretty similar. But, like, if you just, you know, Clan Quest is pretty good at, like, wooing at, like, lore talks and applauding. But like, even during the lore talk, like it was a small group just wooing. And you look at the old school reveals and people went out of their minds when a new skill was announced. They went out of their minds when the Song of the Elves were announced. You know?
You know, one thing that came from the lore talk that was actually interesting is that it's the same universe, the same storyline. There just might be slight different interpretations on how the story is told between the two of them. Between the two games.
Yeah, so we'll see how the Dark Lord ends up being in Old School. Like, I'm curious to see how they're going to interpret that quest. I have no desire of doing Underground Pass in Old School, so I might cheat it and just read up on it on the wiki or something like that. But yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I think we can leave it at that. And, you know, as we did going in, we didn't know if this was going to be what kind of segment this was going to be or if we would even talk about this on the show. But I think it was worth saying that we needed to. So, all right. Let's just do a bit of a wrap up. And, you know, one of the things I was asked a lot of when we when I got back was what was the atmosphere like? And I've done that, and what I've actually done is I put together a shared gallery of my RuneFest photos and whatnot with this. Oh God, these are live photos. That's interesting. But yeah, I'll share a link to that in the show notes, and you can have a look, and I'll just thumb through some of these right now here. One of the things that you know, it was of course Fremenic themed and whatnot. So when you're entering, there's a huge Fremenic longboat and whatnot, made it look as you're walking over the edge heading in.
I mean, they outdid themselves on like just the scenery and the sort of makeup of the room. Like in the previous years, like it would be sort of thematic, and like you usually like have like different areas. Like they had like last year they had like Alcarit, that was like the food bits, and like you had like the swamp and like the forest, and like sort of like they set out like these in-game locations in real life. And like it's really cool. And this year they had like Trollwise Mountain, Releka, and all that stuff, but like they went sort of beyond, and they had sort of a group of people, like actors, actually sort of enacting like Viking stuff. Like
that guy was making his weapon or whatnot for a long time.
Yeah, like spades or something like that, and like hitting it with a hammer like all day, like inexhaustible, like weaving ropes and other kinds of weaving and making like wood carving, and like, you know, people, you just walk past it, right? You don't pay a lot of attention to it, but I think it added a lot of
That's something you don't get on stream. Another thing is that you could take pictures with you or your friends, and they had this wall of photos, and this was shaping up to be the entrance to Daemonheim at the end of the day, and this was made up of people, you know, with the pictures they've taken and whatnot. I don't remember what our four photos were. I just remember that one of ours was number 1024, the one that you got. So that was definitely something. But there's a photo of that wall here as well there.
We made sure to do the dab in one of them because we're awesome like that.
Yeah, we are. So, but yeah, you can.
Yeah, like compared to last year, I think we talked about it again, but I've talked to a few other people that were at RuneFest about it since. And, you know, I definitely feel that people didn't like the new venue as much. I mean, it's great. There was like a lot of room, but you know, the sort of coziness of Battersea Evolution was a bit tiny, and they had a tent outside, and I was really glad that there was no tent outside for like the panel, because that was just didn't work. They had like a proper room for like land stuff, but you know, the atmosphere was missing. You know, I also felt that there weren't as many J-Mods around. Like, when I was at Battersea Evolution, you would bump into them, like, everywhere. And, you know, you were there. Like, they didn't seem to be around that much. Like, I don't know. Like, it just didn't feel very much the same. I think they had, like, a special meet and greet. So, I mean, at times the venue just felt empty for the amount of people.
Yeah, especially when people were off on a different talk or something. There were times you just had like almost an entire section to yourself.
Yeah.
There's also the lack of skill chips, which we mentioned on the recap.
I mean, I can actually let me grab the cards and show them. Actually, yeah. I have them lying here.
Still in the same place they were when we left.
The cards, they look like this. Sorry for the glare. They have a task on them and you get a card. And they're a bit like playing cards, right? Like, not the high quality, playing cards. And then in the end, you get to make a picture, which took absolutely forever. And, all you get is,
85 minutes. 85 minutes
all
for
you
that.
All you get is, a picture of, like...
And you left your rock there, right?
No, I took my rock home,
okay,
actually.
I left mine.
Yeah.
I left my RSBNB rock there.
Oh, yeah. I have my rock here. That's the symbol of Brassica on a stone. So this is my Brassica Voon or something like that. I don't know. And the art team was there. While I'm showing off, right? The art team was there, and they had, 3D printed god symbols. So, oh gosh. You can't see this at all.
Because it's not painted.
That is a Gothic
symbol. That is a Gothic
symbol.
It is
a Gothic symbol. There you go. That sort of works. That's a Gothic symbol. This is all 3D printed. They had a thing full of it. The Zaros ones were gone because Zaros.
Of course.
Yeah, they had Armadillo, Bandos, Godless, all kinds of icons. And it was so much fun talking to these people, right?
Yeah.
I think it was, they were just working there and talking to people. This showed a massive 3D printed Solak. The Tower of Voices we talked about, 3D printed.
Yeah,
that.
They could do that, but it'd be difficult and whatnot.
Yeah, they were.
So.
They, you saw them being intrigued by the challenge, and
because I asked
lovely.
For one of those.
Yeah.
So
and, I think it was that was really fun. You get like in the middle of it, they had an island where they were working with a screen where you could see it. And then to the sides, one side you had the RSV new content, old school old content. The food was to one corner, and then the other corner they had a little sort of closed off area where you could try out mobile.
Yeah, it was a little enclosed room and whatnot. In the yeah. Frozen areas, Trollweiss area. Wait, what?
Trollweiss Mountain.
Trollweiss Mountain, that's it. Yeah. And, it was very thematically themed and whatnot. It wasn't a concrete floor. I don't know what it was. It was almost carpeted, I think. Mm-hmm. So it was a nice touch. I do have a photo gallery here. You can send me some if you want as well. These are just the ones that I took. But
I haven't had a time to filter through my photos yet. Yeah. They'll show up on... they might be a bit more clan oriented, but on the Clan Quest wiki, we'll write an article with our experiences, but with a bunch of photos as well.
And the wiki's public, so
the wiki is public. Yeah, clanquest.org/wiki.
Yeah. All right, so that's RuneFest, and I don't know if there's much else to say on that. But as always, if you guys have questions about it or anything else that appeared, just head on over to the forums, update.rsbnb.com/ask, or Twitter @rsbnb, send them in, and we will get to those. So, all right. So before we move on to tech news this week, I'll just say thank you to our Patreon supporters of the week. And this week we have Cody T, Nora, Kyle, and Brock H. Thank you guys for supporting the podcast and all of our endeavors that we do. It's good to be back doing this again. Hopefully you guys enjoyed the Tanis and Earth special this week, or last week. This week you get the Sirion and Shane special. So,
we had some fun last week.
We did. Yeah. We did. I've yet to go through that, but for Patreon people, I'm going to pull out some of those clips from there that are going to be on the clip show and put some of those in. Because that was certainly an experience in itself, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
So, But in case you're wondering what this is, for $1 a month, you receive a special mention in our show notes. For $3 a month, you get the VIP rank on Discord, high-quality stereo AAC versions of the podcast. And for $5 a month, you gain access to the clip show and can have your name read out every week on the podcast if you desire. For $15 a month, we do our monthly bit, which last month was focused on the ways to play RuneScape. We do have one coming this month, and this is building a better beta framework just in time for the November mining and smithing beta. And we also do our video shows, and if we reach $60 a month, Tanis will do a live stream each and every Monday showcasing the RS update of the week. All right. So, you ready for tech news?
Ready for tech news.
So this is, this is effectively Android week here. Because Google had their made by Google announcement this week, where we had the Pixel 3 announced, as well as the Home Hub and Google's charging stand for Android devices, which is interesting because Apple announced one of those, AirPower, a year and a bit ago, and it still hasn't shipped. So
I had fun with that one.
Yeah. It's certainly something, But so these new Pixel phones are made by HTC. They're called the Pixel 3 and the Pixel 3 XL. The Pixel 3 XL has a notch in it. The Pixel 3 does not. They're almost bezel-less, 5.5 inches for the Pixel 3 and 6.3 inches for the XL. Those are pretty big screens. Mm-hmm. So that's huge.
I'm using the Pixel 2, not the XL one, like normal one, and I know like the screen on the 3 is bigger, but like the phone size is the same, and you know, a few years ago I would have complained about the screen size. I've kind of gotten used to it, and you know, I don't know if you held it while you were here, but I find it,
I mean
it's quite a pleasant size, I think, of phone in the end. Like,
and if they can fit a 5.5 inch screen on that now,
yeah, like I'm definitely interested.
Yeah, and you know, this is an interesting device, and can we say it's more interesting than the iPhone XS?
Yes,
and more interesting definitely than the iPhone XR.
Yeah, probably. I mean, to be honest, this has not been a super innovative year when it comes to phones, but you know, Google showed off what they're good at. Pictures with the Pixel camera. I mean, they announced like 50 new features for that. Nah, that's like second.
And apparently that you can get a better shot out of this than you can with the dual lenses on the
I mean, they sort of like, they squeeze everything out of their camera. Like, it's crazy. Like, I saw some of the features, they're great. You know, there's the group selfie cam now, though. I'm not entirely sure who thought of that one. Because, you know, not fitting on a selfie is the biggest problem of all smartphone user ever. But, you know, sure, why not? I don't really...
Yeah, there's a solution to that.
Don't make selfies.
And these are flagship devices running cheaper than the iPhones.
Mm-hmm.
Which I mean, says what Google wants to do with it. So,
yeah, I mean, and like the wireless stand. I mean, first of all, wireless charging. I've never really had experience with it, but it's the future, I think. Like, and 10 watts. It's pretty fast. It's pretty fast. You know, for me, it doesn't really matter. I charge my phone overnight, but you know, I saw the stand and I saw using it as like one of these light up clocks as like an alarm clock. I was like, you know, that's a killer feature for me. Why has nobody thought of this before?
Yep. Because
you can buy these like really expensive alarm clocks that like sort of light up.
Oh yeah.
But it's not really worth it. And then they're like, or we could just make a stand for your phone and make your phone do it, and your phone already has a screen. And like, that's actually really clever. And you can like, you know, they announced like the Google sort of Home Hub.
Yeah, the
and, you
Home
know,
Hub.
Put your phone in the stand, and it's basically a Google Home, right? Like, it's maybe not optimized for being responsive, but you know, why not? I think Google did really well is cater to their strengths, right? They're not going to put down like the best piece of hardware, maybe, like in terms of like the actual hardware, but they do have the expertise and the power in AI and voice controlled assistance and image technology, and all of these are in the product, and they are like absolutely in the market, the best in the market you can get, right? You can't make better pictures than with the Pixel 3. You can't really get a better voice assistant than the Google Home, I think, personally.
I'm just laughing at HomePod right now.
Yeah, I mean, Alexa gets pretty close, I would say. Like,
but Alexa's probably a lot more creepy, too.
I don't know. So, you know, I have to say, like, I looked at the event, I was like, there's no big surprises here, but on the other hand, there's a few things Google is really good at, and those, like, they showed off that they're still, like, way ahead of the competition.
There's also the Pixel Slate, which competes with the Surface, a detachable
tablet.
That one
was a surprise to me, actually. I did not expect something like that coming. I don't really like how it looks, to be honest. Like, the keyboard with the round keys, it just...
Oh, they're round. Ew. Okay.
I just don't see it work, but, you know, the way they seem to
but
use it...
But has there been
like,
a proper Google tablet yet?
Not that I know of. I mean, so, there's the... There's last year they had the Pixel Book.
But that was more of a laptop.
Yeah, but you could... I think the keyboard does sort of... I don't know. I remember, but...
All right.
Yeah, like, the way they used it, it looks interesting. It's definitely a big Surface competitor, I guess. You know, with all the new stuff they're doing on Chrome OS, you know, definitely, I think in like things like education, they could make some really big big strides there.
Definitely, definitely, and you know, this kind of led to one of your alternate picks of the week, but we won't say what that was going to be, will we? All right, so that's that. Next up. I believe Tannis and Earth talked about this last week, the actual event happening with this, the horrible Windows 1809 update that was deleting users' home folders. Microsoft is seeding an updated version of this build now to Windows Insiders for testing because, well, they say they have fixed all the data loss issues. And they're going to carefully study the results, feedback, and diagnostic data from insiders before taking additional steps to re-releasing it more broadly. So basically what happened with this, it was determined that a very small number of users lost their files during this update, and this occurred if known folder redirection had been previously enabled, but files remain in the original old folder location versus being moved to the new redirected location, and known folder redirection is the process of redirecting known folders of Windows, including the desktop, pictures, screenshots, video, camera roll, from the default location to a new folder location. So if that had been turned on, there was a chance that you would lose your data. We had a bit of a laugh about this because, you know, it was unknown what this would affect. But I came home, thankfully, and my Windows computer still had its home folder. You still had yours, so we're good on that front. But, you know, boy, this is definitely an edge case. And now we see what's done this, and Microsoft is making plans to rectify it. So, whew. I don't know if there's any anything else to say on this except that...
I've heard that the new version they've rolled out is causing blue screens of death, so I think this tale isn't over yet.
Is this going to be the Samsung exploding phones?
It might be, it might be. It's not as funny as some Samsung exploding phones.
Bonus points if anyone remembers that, but... you know, just a bit of an update on this matter here. Boy, I'm glad that You know, I think I might actually have one of those folders set up like that on my system.
I only have one hard disk, so I don't really care where my files are.
Yeah. All right. Anyways, I believe that's about it for tech news. Nothing else to write home about, right?
I think we're all both still busy sort of catching up since last week as well. So, yeah.
All righty. Well, let's have a look at the October skill of the month, which is agility. And oh my God, we have people who are insane here. Sorensen 57, 14.4 million agility XP gained in 11 days. Magebit with 13 million XP gained. And Parnassius with 7.1 million agility XP gained. Boy. Can you imagine doing that much agility XP in 11 days?
No. Unless you're like that one guy at RuneFest that was doing the Hafen agility course in the land room at RuneFest.
Why would you do
that? Because apparently that's what people pay £150 for. But
why would you do that?
Yeah.
Why?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Anyways, rsbnb.com/SKOTM for that. We do have a bunch of achievements this week that I'll just run through from last week. So Elven Badass got 99 cooking on October 11th. Jubaka with 99 defense on the 10th. Questcaping with 99 constitution on the 10th. Skeets also on the 10th with 120 invention. LCY2542000 with 99 fishing on the 9th. Silverwiz 9 with 99 divination on the 6th. Ex Polonia with 99 slayer on the 6th. And Curtains with 99 firemaking on October 5th. Nicely done, everyone. Nicely done.
GC.
That's a good way of putting it. Congrats. All right, pick of the week. What do you got for us?
Right, so a couple of months back, I talked about Loop's Habits, which is an app in my phone that allows me to track my habits. So, like, I try to read every day. I try to get outside every day. Don't laugh. It's really easy to just stay inside all weekend. Yeah, things like that. Like, it sort of helps me keeping track of, like, good habits. Things like eating food every day as well. Make sure that I go to bed every day on time. It has really helped me sort of build, like, good behaviors. So, like, sort of in the trend of that, I, a few months ago, I started using something new called Dailyo. So Dailyo is slightly different. It's not really about habits. It's more about how was your day. And the reason I've started using it is I am a bit of a pessimistic person, naturally. So for me, like, it's really easy to sort of go down this hill of like, oh my gosh, today was absolutely trash. Things like that. And like, I would make small events ruin my entire day. What Dailyo allows you to do is at the end of the day, it asks you, how was your day? And so it asks you like to select like a mood, like from like bad to like rad. I didn't come up with his names. So you like pick like a mood, and then it shows you like a grid of activities you have done that day. So you can choose like work, friends, gaming, writing. You can choose your own like archery and Dungeons and Dragons activities I acted because
oh, good.
I do them.
Yeah, yeah, that's good. You can customize that.
Yeah, you can like add like as many as you want. I have like 25 different ones. You basically select those from a grid and it stores these. And, you know, this, the first thing it does is at the end of the day, it forces you to reflect back to it. But like, it will also show you sort of like in like the statistics, like, hey, the days that have been great have generally been combined with like, I don't know, friends, for example. If you are with friends, the chances are higher that you have like a good day. If you have work, the chances are higher that you have a bad day, for example. And, you know, it sort of helps finding these things as well. And, you know, you can sort of find out, like, what are the things that help you having a good day and make sure you plan those regularly. And, you know, I've really found that it's like two or three weeks ago, I had like a horrible day. Like every day at work was just like a pain. And I got home, I had food, I picked up my graphics tablet and I started drawing. Like I'm preparing a Dungeons and Dragons campaign. I started just drawing maps and such. And you know, I would lose sight of time. I would, lose sight of time, just completely immerse myself. And after that, I would feel like a million times better. And you know, you don't really need like an app to figure this out, but like it does help sort of establishing these patterns that, you know, hey, if I do this in the evening, it's sort of like, it sort of calms me down and makes it easier to get back to work the next day to get more shit thrown at you, basically. So, you know, I think you can use the app in different ways. You can either use it, to do like me, to like sort of reflect on your day. You can use it to sort of find out like what you've been doing. I think there's different use cases, but so it's a tool to make your days more structured. And, you know, it's a bit of a trend for me, like first the habits, now this. I'm trying to get my life a bit more structured, but, you know, for me it's helping. So, yeah, it's an app. It works on Google Play and iOS, Shane. It also has an iOS version as opposed to wireless charging, the RuneScape mobile beta, intuitive UI, swipe keyboards, all this stuff that Android gets and iOS doesn't. You can at least can use Dailyo on iOS if you want.
And there's a funny story behind that. I was out there with you, and I was typing out the notes for the podcast recap, and you're like, "Oh God, how can you type like that? That's such a cute little keyboard you have." And that's because, you know, I'm not using the swipey keyboard or anything like that. I was actually typing out letters using the occasional iOS prediction section, and you just looked at that was antiquated.
Yeah. I don't know if you have seen me swipe type.
But oh, yeah, I did.
Like,
I did.
It's, like, it's really fast. Like, it's just, yeah, it's just like, yeah. I don't know. You have to get used to it, right? You have to learn the swipe stuff. I was really slow at it at first, but like after like a week or two of practice, it's quicker.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Well, I believe that's our show for the week. We'll be back next week, Tannis and myself, with at our usually scheduled time on Thursdays. I guess do we need to say what we've been doing? I mean, it's quite clear at this point, I believe, right?
I mean, I've been busy, so I've been using my phone to do the Halloween event. I have, since like we had like the ports week, I had like a whole bunch of sort of, I didn't want to sell my port stuff. So today I have made like all my resources into items to sell. That felt quite good. It's like 50 mil or so in total, I think I added. So yeah, I'm slowly sort of inching my way towards the 1 billion cash stack. I think that's sort of, I don't know, it's not really useless, but it feels like a fun goal to have.
Well, excellent. Well, you know, this week, I was in a flying metal tube for many hours, missed a connection due to issues getting off the ground in London, but, there's plenty of Vancouver to Edmonton flights, so that was fine. I don't know why, but I mean, I do know why, but it feels like it's time to go to bed, even though...
You feel like it's time to go to bed.
Yeah.
Now.
Still do, yeah.
Yeah, well, actually, for me, it's about time to go to bed. So
well, there you go.
Now you know how I feel. Oh, wait, that's not...
Anyways, you know, further RuneFest coverage, please ask questions. You know, we'll... Definitely keep that up, and we'll be keeping the pulse on that little bombshell stuff that we talked about this week. So with that being said, we'll see you next week, everyone. If you want to join us in-game, we're at Friends Chat Bits Bytes, and full show notes can be found at update.rsbnb.com. See you next week, everyone.
Bye-bye.